Dark Mode Enabled with your hosts, Heather Cox and Jane Clark.
Hello, everybody. Dark Mode Enabled. Hello. Happy Tuesday. Happy April Fool's Day. Happy April 1st. Very excited to be here. Today, we are talking about foolish feeds. Bye. Hi, Jane.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Well, afternoon now. Afternoon, it's 12 o'clock.
That it is.
It is. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, let's just jump right in. Girlfriend, what's going on with you?
Geez, I had a really crazy week last week. A lot of yeses to proposals, and one of the most fun things is taking Emily to the zoo for her 10-year anniversary.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
Yeah, so Emily came to me when she was 17, and it's been 10 years in the making. Now heads up she's our senior web manager, so she does most of the website designs. And we love animals, so me, Kelsey, Jen took Emily out, and then we got some food afterwards, and it was just really lovely. So I love that time out.
I love that so much. What was the favorite animal you saw?
Well, there's a lot of animals there, but the ones that made me laugh the most were the peacocks. They must be like in season because the males were like, yeah, and they were like shimmering their little feathers and dancing around, and the women were not having it. And the women don't look anywhere near as cool as the girl peacock or the male peacocks, but they were trying so hard. They were trying on roofs, they're trying pens, they're trying right in front of you, and they didn't give a crap about you being there. That's so hilarious. I think the peacocks are taking over.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, and one last thing. If anyone's free or listening, whatever, if you're in Delaware, the Delaware Press Association is having a networking event tomorrow night at 5 to 8 at the Iron Hill. DM me if you want an invite.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sad I can't make it.
Ugh, I know. It's a lot, but there'll be plenty of other ones for sure. So what do you got going on?
Oh my gosh. Well, number one, I was just sitting out my new backyard space. I redid the whole backyard area. It rained a crap ton yesterday.
Yeah,
my micro clover is gonna love. And let's see, real calm in June. And then I'm just trying to lean into more being girly. I know that's weird, but that's like a personal goal for me is to just,
it's like being softer, right? Yes. It's like a softness to it. Yes. That, yeah.
We could get into a whole thing, but we do not have time, I'm afraid. but yes, I know, Jane, we have both made foolish ass mistakes on social media, probably many times. I know you've seen companies make crazy ass foolish mistakes on their feeds. And that's what we're talking about today is how to come back from that. But Jane, I know you probably have some goodies.
Yeah, let me just share some examples of how bad it can be. You know, like for me, the only thing that I've ever really done was maybe misspell something in a post. I actually did have one person message me and tell me, so that was pretty horrifying for me because I think there's this, I'm a perfectionist at heart. But as I've gone through this journey, done is better than perfect, in my opinion. So, and I still like to show that we're human, you know, AI doesn't misspell things, right? So, you know, it's just an indicator that you're a little bit more human. And I think it adds to the charm, but not everyone thinks that, right? So I think whatever people's different opinions of what's terrible and what's not terrible, you know. In this case, these are pretty bad. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Burger King's International Women's Day tweet. And they tweeted, women belong in the kitchen. And it's supposed to be like part of a campaign to promote like the culinary scholarships for women. But without any context, it just came across really like tone deaf. Like,
oh,
really, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's kind of embarrassing, you know, because you're insulting entire gender. And this, you know, and I get that there are some risks that you take, like Burger King's moldy burger ad. I think that was a risk and genius.
Very,
and I think it
very
paid
good.
Off. But in this case, it's just, you know, it could very well be a vintage ad that you see in a newspaper. Like, that's how bad it is. And so the lesson there is always consider how your message will be perceived, especially for isolating, you know, an entire group of people. But
that
anyway,
is crazy. I cannot. Yeah. My mouth, my jaw is on the floor. I'm like, really, Burger King? Really? I can't.
It gets worse. All right. So let's talk about Duolingo's mascot, Death Stun. Now, so they announced the death of its mascot, Duo, and they revealed it was just sort of like a ploy to encourage users to complete the lessons. But although some people found it funny, others were kind of devastated by it. You know, like, can you imagine just killing your company mascot? Like if the Phillies mascot was just axed one day, you know, like you would absolutely react to that before you even know the story. So to me, they fucked around and found out and people were skimming headlines, right?
Crazy. And honestly, I was kind of confused by the whole thing. It was a very confusing message. I was like, oh, is he dead? Are they going to be like bringing in a new mascot? Like, what is, I just thought it was very confusing. And I was,
it totally backfired. And that just made it more, feel more disconnected from like the real world, you know?
100%.
So, all right, next one, Gap's election day post. This is back in 2020, but Gap posted an image of like half red, half blue hoodie. And that's supposed to symbolize the unity, you know, which, you know, and it was criticized as tone deaf because it was highly polarizing. And so the lesson on that one was like the timing, the cultural sensitivity, especially when you're talking about divisive topics. So that, you know, I don't agree with the backlash, but Gap's had enough backlash for me on different issues. And I feel like I have to bury them further, but surprise, they're still in business, you know, like they do seem a little bit detached from current events, if you will.
Yeah.
And the last, oh, two more, the last, well, the next one is Bjor's mental health awareness campaign. And they partnered with an influencer for this one. And so they're trying to link their skincare product to coping with trauma from a school shooting. And that was seen as like trivializing a real life issue.
That is so cringe. Like, why would you do that?
Especially because it's like vanity meets who you want.
Like, come home after almost being murdered and come wash your face with our Biore products. Like, that's just so.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, the Robin Hood Super Bowl lab. It was aired about financial inclusivity and trading on certain stocks. And that really pissed people off. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Robin Hood's brand that it's like investing for normal people. You know, it kind of allows you to dip your toes in a bit. But, you know, do you think, Heather, all good press or all press is good press? Like, do you think they got any kind of business for that? Or do you think they actually took a hit?
So I have a thought on this. Not, okay, so it depends on how big of a brand you are.
Yeah.
So if it's me, little mom and pop Heather Cox Codes over here, and something happens to me or I do something that pisses off all of Delaware, well, then, like, yeah, people are going to be like, sorry, we can't work with you anymore. No, we're not going to, like, we don't want to be associated with you anymore. Like, that could kill you. Like, that could kill a small business. But if you're, like, a Walmart or a Target, like, you can, like, eat some of that money because you have so much money. You're, like, a billion-dollar corporation. Like, yeah, you can kind of make mistakes and pay for them later. Without having to ask for permission or forgiveness.
Yeah.
Maybe the forgiveness part, but I don't know. It just depends on how big your company is, honestly.
And how sincere the apology.
Yes. 100%.
100% on that. So, okay, let's say we mess up, Heather. We mess up and we're like, oh my God, what do you do? I mean, I realize there are different levels of severity here, but like, what are some strategies that we can implement if that does happen?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, one of the biggest ones that I make as a social media manager and strategist, more on the manager side of things, I manage a few accounts. So sometimes I'll accidentally post like my client's stuff to my feed or my story to their story.
Oh my God, I'm gonna run over there and delete it.
Make sure
it's happened to the best of us.
I know. So You know, that's one of the biggest things I deal with, just making double, triple checking that I am posting to the right account. But, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that this kind of goes along the lines of PR management, PR crisis management. Yeah. And when I was at University of Delaware, the program of continuing studies for advanced social media under Nancy Dibert, we spent a lot of time about PR crisis communications and what to do with your social media when there is a crisis. If it's you made that crisis or a crisis happens to you.
Yeah.
So number one, if you do notice the mistake, act fast, but don't panic. Right? Take a moment to assess it. Is it minor typo or is it something that could damage your reputation? Responding quickly and calmly can prevent things from escalating, right? So just act fast, but don't freak out, man. Number two, delete and edit thoughtfully. So most platforms allow you to edit or delete posts. The ones that don't are Twitter/X. I'm sorry, it's still Twitter. And threads, you can edit a thread within the first 15 minutes. After that, you are no longer able to edit that thread. So just keep that in mind. But for, you know, Facebook Reels, you cannot edit the caption on a Facebook Reel. You can edit a caption on a LinkedIn reel, an Instagram reel. You can now edit a caption on a TikTok, but you cannot edit a caption on a Facebook reel unless I'm missing something, which I need to go double check Meta Business Suite. But
not that I'm aware of, yeah.
Yeah. So delete and edit thoughtfully. Most platforms will allow you to delete. For minor edits like spelling or broken links, just edit the post. If it's a bigger issue like wrong account or offensive content, just delete it. Or even better, to work with the algorithm, just private it so you can make it private for yourself. Number three, you have to sometimes acknowledge that mistake, right? So if there is something that was posted and you didn't catch it for like 48 hours, and this is also good if you have like a newsletter too, right? Let's say if you send out a newsletter and then it has the wrong date of your event, well, you're going to have to resend a newsletter basically saying, correction email or something like that to let people know, hey, you know, we kind of messed up here and we need to give you the wrong one. So, you know, and this simple acknowledgement can actually help you build trust. So just say, oops, we kind of shared that too early, or, hey, here's a correction. Thanks for catching that, or what have you.
People will so open an email too. They're like, oh, let me see this person's mistake. Like they are going to open both emails. So in a way, you know, I'm not saying do it all the time, but in a way you're getting more open rates because of it.
That's true. Yeah, that can be. Yeah. That is also a ploy. That is a ploy, but then also the social media posting, like spelling the wrong, like T-E-H or something. And then people come into your comment section and be like, you spelled the wrong, because everybody is, you know, so self-righteous and just think they know everything. So they'll come and be, you know-it-alls in the comment section. So that actually boosts your reach and engagement. So,
interesting.
Yeah, but only
I always thought it affected your reach, but I don't know that for a fact. I haven't read it anywhere, but editing your post will affect your reach, at least on LinkedIn. So I have had some people just leave the error in there because they knew they would get less views if they didn't, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So, and plus, I mean, if they left it in there too, they would have people being like, you made a mistake. Kind of double duty there, right?
It's kind of cool, yeah.
If you made a foolish mistake and it's harmless, just laugh at yourself. Honestly, it's a silly little typo or posting too early. Lean into the moment with humor. It shows authenticity, guys. Like, honestly, plus social media is not rocket science, and social media is not like dire. Unless it's specific where it's like comms, like you have to communicate specific information, like the parks and rec accounts that have been doing that lately. But, you know, don't take it so seriously, honestly. Like, and I'll put this out there too. If you are a company and you have a social media manager, or you are posting, or somebody's posting, and you see that there's a typo and it is just so minuscule, do not bite off your social media manager's head. Okay? Please. It is a simple mistake. We are humans. Okay, I don't know. It's happened to me before in my 15 years of being a social media manager and strategist. It's happened to me before where I've had clients literally call me and ream me out over a simple spelling mistake. So don't do that. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Number four or five, double check everything before you repost, obviously. Like, don't just make that mistake again. Number six, having a holding statement ready. This is for PR level issues. So if it's a bigger problem and there's something potentially offensive, insensitive, or brand damaging, prepare a holding statement while you assess internally. So something like, we're aware of the issue and currently looking into it. We'll provide an update shortly. So, you know, kind of like, you know, the, what example? It wasn't the Duolingo example. It was maybe like, the Burger King's International Women's Day. Maybe they were like, oh, we didn't mean to post it in that context. Can you put, like, we will update shortly on what we're going to do next or something like that. Like, they're.
Yeah, we're coming forth. It's an apology.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something, you know.
Exactly. The next one, respond. Don't react. Avoid being defensive. Avoid being emotional. I mean, emotional responses in the comments or the DMs. You could be fighting with people all day long because people love to fight on the internet. Just go look at TikTok, okay? Yeah. Like, there are videos that go viral on there just because people are arguing in the comment section. So don't respond, or just respond, but don't react. Stick to a clear professional communication and handle concerns calmly, even if the audience is upset, okay? Number eight, use DMs or emails for sensitive issues. If someone messages you with a complaint, take the conversation off the public feed. So, you know, if they bring something to your attention in the comment section, just say, you know, hey, thank you so much for catching this. I would love to speak with you about this further. I messaged you or I DM'd you.
Yeah.
Addressing it privately shows that you care and that you want to actually resolve it respectfully. So,
yeah.
Also, from all of this, guys, you got to learn from it. Right? So document went wrong and try to prevent it from happening again.
Yeah.
And if that means adding a content calendar or double checking account logins, having other team members review things, you just need to make sure that you update your processes and learn from this mistake. Because yes, we are human and nobody is perfect, and it's progress over perfection. Yes, but we just need to make sure that we learn to just be mindful and patient. And don't rush things while we are creating content that is forward facing to the public. And then if it is something huge, like, oh my God, I'm going to be sued for this. Because honestly, I learned this when I got some insurance. I got some liability insurance, and my company is specific. So, like, they do not cover, like, if I got sued by, like, ABC Diner, and I was a contractor working for ABC Diner, and I posted some, like, racist, homophobic shit on their Instagram, and then ABC Diner decided to come sue me, well, I could be sued for posting that stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's not a mistake. That's intentional shit. But if somebody makes a mistake and it's serious, or has, you know, if you have a social media manager who has gone rogue, because that has happened before, where literally people's accounts just get taken by the social media managers, whatever the mistake is, you have to just don't handle it alone, right? Bring in a PR or a crisis communication professionals to help manage and manage the response and the reputation of the brand, because, like, shit can go down and you may not be equipped to handle it. So you got to call in the professionals. So lean on the professionals for that. So I know I went through a lot, but a real quick summary. Number one, act fast. Don't panic. Number two, delete and edit thoughtfully. Number three, acknowledge the mistake if necessary. Number four, don't be afraid to laugh at yourself. We're all human. Number five, double check everything before reposting. Six, have a holding statement ready for those major issues, like, you know, we are aware of the situation and currently looking into it type thing. Number seven, respond, but don't react. Keep your emotions out of it. Number eight, use DMs and emails for sensitive issues. Number nine, learn from it. Learn from your mistakes. And number 10, when in doubt, call for help. Oh my gosh.
Call for backup.
I don't think I've ever, have you ever been through a PR crisis in which you've needed to call, like, the professionals?
Yes, but I was a professional.
Oh, okay. Well, duh.
Actually, I wasn't a professional until that happened. Let's put it that way. But
Oh.
for me, the way I tackle PR is really through branding. So when that recruitment fraud scam was going around, and just to kind of rehash it really quickly, there are scammers being scammers, and they tried to impersonate Brand Swan, and this is not
Right.
uncommon. So they're doing this to lots of companies, and basically the whole thing is that they fake hire people and get them to pay them something somehow, which makes no sense because you're supposed to be paying them. And then who gets to blame? Me, because they were representing Brand Swan. But I was starting to get messages on a Sunday night, and they're rolling in like, "Hey, I just got a job offer from you guys, but it doesn't feel like you. You don't even have any male people on your team." They said it didn't sound like it, didn't feel like you, and that's why they checked, and they were right. It
That's
obviously
crazy.
wasn't me. And so I did a lot of shit about that. Like, I had a form where if someone was getting the scam, they could fill it out, and then I sent that form to Google the way they wanted it. And so we got a lot of those accounts shut down, and a lot of people felt like, "Hey, you know what? I got scammed." They might not have been affected because they caught it, but they felt like they could help too by reporting it and giving the information that could shut it down. So I was really
Yeah.
happy about it and how that went.
Well,
And
that's
yeah, they
good.
went to find probably an easier victim because we did have a brief email correspondence. I was like, "Hey, like, don't you have anything better to do?" And they were like, "Here, pay us 5 grand in bitcoins and go away." And I'm like, "No, go find, a PED or something. I don't know. Like, PEDOs are better." Like, just
Yeah.
pick somebody else, someone doing something heinous at
Oh my
least. But
God. Yeah, seriously, what the hell?
awesome.
That's
Brian,
crazy. I
thank you for
remember
being
you
here and
posting.
listening.
Yes, thanks, Brian. So that's crazy that that happened to you. So, like, I
Yeah.
remember you posting about that too, didn't you? You were like, if anybody received anything.
Yeah. We were so in the forefront of that, like the biggest holding statement ever, because we were getting calls from other companies as well that were going through the same thing. And I remember talking to guys like, "Yeah, we're a small company making about 7 million." I'm like, "Oh, that's it.
Small
Terrible,
little
absolute garbage
something.
company." Yeah. So th they literally th think just by how we look and how we feel that we're like $1 billion company or something. Maybe not $1 billion. That's a bit much. But maybe we make high 6 figures. Who knows what he thinks I make? 7 figures. But a 7-figure business is a big company, in my humble opinion.
Oh,
It's
for sure. Yeah.
even 300 people sounds like a big team to me, even though that's like the definition for a small business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a whole
Yeah,
nother
you're right.
conversation.
Yep, that's
Yeah.
crazy that 300 people would be considered a small business. All right. Well, any news notifications for today, Miss
Yes,
Jane?
I do. I do. I do. I do. And this is something that I don't know. I don't even know how I can explain this. Okay, so Coca-Cola is bringing back their like personalized Share a Coke campaign, because
Oh.
it did so well, but and it launched in 2011. But listen, they're going to do it for Gen Z. I mean, weirder how weird their names are now.
Oh my
There's no
God.
freaking way they're going to be able to find names that like Kaylee, Riley, a bunch of Lees. There's so many names. There's just no way.
Can
But
they
in the
put
one on
like the Rizzler on one or like
the
Skibidi Toilet or
What on earth?
or Girly Pop? Like these are all Gen A, Gen Z. Well, actually, those are all Gen A because I have Gen A
Yeah.
kids. Gen Z, they would have to be like Slay. You know what I mean? Or,
There's no
yeah.
Beth. There's no Beth. There's no Jane. There's no Heather, maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God.
But the
Dumb.
Gen A's have crazy names.
Yeah, they do.
And that's cool, but I don't know how the hell you're going to quantify that and make it so people feel like it's personalized without being that personal. So
Well,
I'm
wait, can't you
skeptical,
go and
but
like customize them now and buy them now? Like go on the
ooh.
internet and like do the customized Coke and then I thought they do that now.
I did not know that. Tell us.
I don't know. I'm just kind of pulling that
Oh.
out of my ass, but
Oh, well, hold
we'll
on.
see.
Okay. Share Coke is bringing. Okay, hold on a second. So it was first launched in Australia in 2011. Legendary. And let's see here. Oh man, they had a big that was a big year for them number wise.
I
But
mean,
yeah,
I
over a decade
guess, yeah,
later.
you can
Yeah.
customize the You can customize any shit. You can customize Coke cans too. Coke cans, the glass and the glass ones, but that's it. Yeah. I'm gonna put
Awesome.
one that says like skibbity toilet or
Skippity, why did you say skippity toilet? What does that even mean?
go look it up.
Okay,
You
well,
are not with the times. Oh my
skippity
God.
toilet.
Dude,
That's
like
true.
like 100 aura points. You know what I mean?
Refers to a popular outfit bizarre anime YouTube
Oh
series.
my God,
Oh
we're crazy.
God.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have any news notifications. I haven't asked if everybody wants to go shoot me a follow over on Instagram at heathercoxcodes.com. That would be amazing. And also follow Jane Clark too over at Brandswan and also at Jane at Brandswan. Is that what it is?
Gina Brandswan, yeah, is my username.
Yes.
Except for on
Okay.
LinkedIn, where I have slash Jane Clark, might I
Well,
say.
if anybody has any questions, please drop them in the chat. We are here live on Clubhouse every Tuesday at 12 p.m. EST, 9 a.m. PST, and you can listen to the replays here on Clubhouse or on the podcast, darkmodelive.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, if that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Samsung Podcasts, or even listening on YouTube. We're on YouTube too. We're everywhere because that's how we like it.
Technology is the best.
And let's see. Yeah. So thanks, guys, so much for listening. If you're listening to us on the podcast, anything else going on before we duck out? I know next week we're talking about living offline and tips for disconnecting because Jane and I are always on the goddamn internet.
Yeah.
We cannot get off of it. And so that's why I'm also creating that really comfy space back in my backyard because that is one of the things I do for disconnecting. So we can talk about that as well next week. But
Awesome. All
yeah.
right. Well, if that's it,
That's
dark
it.
mode disabled.